Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, students. Welcome to our lesson summary review for today. We're going over our bachelor's degree course, Spiritual Gifts, and we're on session 5 this week, which is entitled Apostles and Prophets. Now, this session is intended to help the students to understand the ministry gifts of apostles and prophets, and it should impress upon you the need for apostolic and prophetic ministries in the church today. It should also remind you that those who exercise these gifts must be humble and obedient servants of God who depend fully on the Holy Spirit rather than on human abilities. So I pray that you have your study guide, your note-taking material with you as we go over some of the highlights of this week's lesson. And as we always do, we're going to pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we study this lesson, as we teach this lesson. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit for special wisdom concerning the ministry gifts of apostles and prophets. And many times, students, you may have questions that your instructor may not be able to answer because some of the things that you may ask may not be referenced by Scripture. After all, we are a Bible college, and we want to be able to guide you with the answers and resources that the Bible gives us. But also be assured that any question that you have, your staff members, also the staff at the school here will be able to research and bring any answer back to you that we can find that will help you in the course of your study. So let us go ahead and seek the face of God now as we prepare to study this week's lesson, Apostles and Prophets. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we give you honor and glory today. We ascribe worth to you. We thank you for every student and staff member of Grace Bible College and Seminary. We thank you that as we submit ourselves to the study of your word, that the Holy Spirit will aid us in our understanding, will guide us, and will give us wisdom. We pray today that we will get a greater understanding of the gifts of the apostles and prophets. May we also recognize how you may be using us and also how you are using others. May we be used today for the glory of God in all that we do, and we thank you. Hallelujah. And amen. Praise the Lord. Again, students, welcome to our lesson summary review. We're on the course, Spiritual Gifts, which is one of our bachelor's in practical ministry courses. We're on session 5 this week, which is entitled Apostles and Prophets. And we're going to talk about some of the functions of spiritual gifts to begin this week's review. And then I'm going to also give you the major headings that we're going to talk about as we go through this lesson. So let's talk somewhat about what is the function of the spiritual gift. And if you've been studying along with us in this course, you know that we've asked you to memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 13, that is, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which, as we've been sharing with you, is foundational to all spiritual gifts in operation, including the spiritual gifts that we were studying today about apostles and prophets. So if you haven't already done so, make note of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, and by now you should be able to repeat most of those scripture verses from memory. And I also want to remind you that by the end of this course, you should have memorized the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And also, students, be encouraged to share your personal testimonies that you may have as you have studied these lessons thus far. We always encourage to hear from each and every one of you. You can contact the school by phone, by email, or our live chat line, and a staff member would get back in touch with you. So go ahead and get a blank sheet of paper, and let's talk about the function of spiritual gifts, particularly the gifts of apostles and prophets. Now, this is an exercise sheet that we're going to go through in this particular portion of the lesson, and as we always do, we'll try to post them on our page as well, and you can contact us if you're studying independently online or by mail, and we can provide you a copy of the exercise sheet. Now, One of the first questions that we're going to look at is referenced from a Revelation. Write this down. Revelation chapter 21, verse 14. And if you haven't already read that portion of Scripture, go ahead and do so. And as you do, here's the question that we want to be able to answer. Some of the following questions we want to answer. First question is, what does Revelation 21:14 say about the apostles? We're talking about the early apostles that are mentioned in the Scripture. What does that verse say about the apostles? We talked about the foundation of the wall being laid with the foundations and prophets. So another question is, how many of you think Paul's name will be in the foundation of the New Jerusalem, which is described in this portion of Scripture? How many of you think Matthias' name will be there and not Paul's? So how can we know for sure? Well, this could be a puzzling question because we know that the early apostles, after Judas fell away, chose Matthias to replace him. But we also see the Apostle Paul chosen by Christ as an apostle. So let's understand this a little bit better. Perhaps Paul's name will be there and not Matthias, but we cannot know for sure until we enter the kingdom of God. And really, it's irrelevant whose name will appear, because bottom line is there are always more than 12 apostles, as we will study in our lesson. Now, although the 11 chose Matthias to take Judas' place, the Lord's choice seems to have been Paul rather than Matthias. For Paul did the work of an apostle, just as the other 11, and then if you include Matthias, did Paul also did the same work, or even a different, some people may say, even a greater work. And one of the things I want to be careful about is particularly, perhaps not greater, but let's just say Paul did a work that was different and unique from many of the other apostles, as we see explained in Scripture. Now, it's also possible that Matthias did the work of an apostle, but we simply cannot say because the Scriptures are silent on this matter. There's not any real reference to the work that Matthias did as he went forward in the work of apostleship. So here's a second question we want to think about as we look at the function of the work of the apostles. What about Barnabas? We see the name Barnabas come up in the Scripture. Question I have for you, was he one of the original 12 apostles? And also, why then was he called an apostle? Well, the answer to the first question is no, he wasn't one of the original apostles, but you remember I mentioned to you that there were more than 12 apostles. There are many apostles throughout the Scriptures, many that Jesus sent out. Usually when people think about the word apostle, they're thinking about the original 12, of which Judas Iscariot was one of the original 12. But, of course, he fell away, and then Matthias was chosen by the early disciples to replace Matthias. Now, here's a reference I want to give you. Make reference of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5 and 6. And that will help you to answer the question about why Matthias was called an apostle. That is why Barnabas was called an apostle. We see that Barnabas, as the Scripture tells us, was a man sent by God to do the work of an apostle, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what the word apostle means and what is an apostolic ministry. We see the 12 apostles had a special mission that signified them, and this is what gets a lot of people confused about it. They had a special ministry that signified them as being with Jesus before his ascension into heaven. And this is what set the original 12 apart as apostles in the very specific sense in which most people understand. This is also one of the reasons why many people think that the gift of apostles ended after Jesus and the early disciples. But as you read through your lesson, you understand that the apostolic ministry certainly did not end with the early disciples, for many have been sent other than the 12, and many are continuing to be sent even until this day. So when we think about the apostles in the sense that they're used in the Bible reference, it's speaking more specifically about those who had been with Jesus throughout the years of his ministry and because they had seen Jesus after his resurrection. Now, however, as I mentioned, there were other apostles after Jesus returned to heaven, and Barnabas was one of them because God anointed him and sent him to new places to preach with power and to establish new churches. Now, that last part of what I just mentioned gives us the insight into what an apostle does and what apostolic ministry looks like. Let me repeat what it says about Barnabas. That Barnabas is one of them because God anointed him. So first, an apostle is anointed by God. Then they are sent to new places to preach under the power of the Holy Spirit and to establish churches. That was the purpose of the apostles in the early church, and this is still the function and purpose of the spiritual gift today. So it is very important that we understand what an apostle is, what they do, in order for us to recognize the gift in operation today and also to know whether God is perhaps calling us into this type of ministry. So that leads right into our third question that we're going to ask in this review. Do we have apostles today? Well, some people generally don't use the word apostle, and the word is starting to be used more in some other circles, unfortunately, without the proper context or meaning. But a word that is more likened unto what the work of apostles did in the biblical text is the word missionary. Some missionaries have the ministry of an apostle. The word apostle and missionary have a similar meaning. They mean simply one who is sent forth. So missionaries have various kinds of ministries. Some go into new fields and establish churches, and the Lord works with them and confirms their message with supernatural answers to prayer. This is apostolic ministry. So when you hear the term apostolic or the word apostle, this should hopefully give you a better understanding of what an apostle is and what an apostle does. Let's talk a little bit now about the spiritual gift of the prophet. First question we have is, does prophecy only mean predicting future events? Well, as we went through our study guide, and as I want to bring to your attention now, students, prophecy includes not only foretelling or predicting the future, it also includes forthtelling, which is proclaiming or the proclamation. It is to proclaim the good news of Christ and his saving grace with the inspiration and power of the Holy Spirit. And that is what it means to exercise a prophetic ministry. So another question we can ask about the spiritual gift of the prophet is, what is the function of the gift of prophecy? And here's a reference I want you to make note of. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. And let's try to answer the question, what is the function of the gift of prophecy, according to this portion of Scripture? Where here we see that the person who ministers with the gift of prophecy speaks to people and gives them help, encouragement, and comfort. Gives them help, encouragement, and comfort. So this is the work of the prophetic ministry. So when we understand not just what the word is, but what the word means, it helps us to know whether a person is operating in a prophetic ministry or have a prophetic gift, or perhaps you may be able to identify whether these gifts are at work in your own life and ministry. There's a fifth question that we have about the spiritual gifts today. The Bible says that Judas and Silas were prophets. However, as I mentioned earlier, this Judas is not the same one who betrayed the Lord. So let's take a look at Acts chapter 15, verse 32, and see what it says about these two men, Judas and Silas, who the Bible says are prophets. Well, if you look at that portion of Scripture, again, Acts chapter 15, verse 32, it says they talked a long time to the people, gave them courage or encouragement and strength. And here again, we see the spiritual gift of prophecy in operation. So they proclaimed the gospel, they proclaimed words that gave them courage, encouragement, or strengthened them, and that was the gift of prophecy in operation. And so we want to make sure we understand, as we're studying today, Session 5 of the Course Spiritual Gifts, entitled Apostles and Prophets, it's important for us to understand the meaning of the terms so that we can know how they operate and identify those who are operating under these particular spiritual gifts. It's very important that we understand that these are still gifts that are relevant to the life of the church today, just as they were in the biblical times. A sixth question that our exercise wants us to answer is this: can we obtain guidance today by going to a prophet? Well, if we look at the scripture text, we see that there is no record in the New Testament of any person going to a prophet to obtain guidance. Now, in the Old Testament, prophet is a somewhat different situation. This was prior to the Holy Spirit being poured out upon all flesh. And so we have the prophet Nathan that spoke to David, but David didn't seek him out. So let's understand this a little bit better. The question that we want to answer here is, can we obtain guidance today by going to a prophet? And as I was mentioning to you, that there is no record in the New Testament of any person going to a prophet to obtain guidance. Now, there was a prophet in the New Testament named Agabus who prophesied that there would be a famine, and the prophecy proved true. You can see a reference for this in Acts chapter 11, verse 28. However, if you read the scriptures, you'll see that people did not go to him and ask whether there would be a famine. He simply prophesied it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Later, the same prophet named Agabus prophesied that Paul would be arrested if he went to Jerusalem. You can see a reference for that in Acts chapter 21, verse 11. And we see Paul did not go with him and ask his advice. Paul did not initiate the conversation with Agabus. Agabus, under the inspiration and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, simply came to Paul and prophesied, gave the inspired message that God had given him concerning Paul. But Paul did not go to him and ask his advice. Agabus simply prophesied it. And we see later that Paul went to Jerusalem in spite of the prophecy, because it wasn't like Agabus was forbidding him to go. He was just predicting what would happen to the man who owned this particular belt if he went to Jerusalem. And we see that the prophecy came to be true. And that is the final statement that I made, is how you know whether a person really is a prophet is whether or not their words come true. It's a follow-up question to that. Since the New Testament doesn't give any specific example of any person seeking out a prophet to find instruction, how should we get guidance from the Lord today? How should we hear from God? Well, sometimes you can go to a pastor or a Christian friend, and they can give you good advice. However, and this is very important, if we want divine guidance, we should go to the Lord in prayer and search his word. And if we do this, children of God, the Lord will speak to our hearts through the Spirit and through the Scriptures to let us know His will for our lives. And this is very important because many times if people start to rely on a person to go to, they will bypass God and probably would not even seek God for themselves. They will simply seek after the one who they think has sought God. So let's guard ourselves against getting caught up in the habit of doing such things. We can go directly to God now, for as the prophecy of Joel says, I pour out my spirit upon all flesh, including you and I. Thanks to God. So let's think about some of the lesson insights that our lesson gave us. This lesson 5, entitled Apostles and Prophets. Here's some of the lesson insights that I want to leave you with. We know that Christ chose his 12 apostles, and he is still the one who selects his apostles and prophets today. No religious organization or church can make a person an apostle or a prophet. Second insight I want to give you is apostles and prophets will be needed until the church is completed, until we are caught up in the air to meet the Lord. And the purpose of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers is to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until it is complete and mature. You see an example of this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. So we see that God has put this ministry in place in the church. You can see a reference again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And these gifts are still needed today. The purpose of the gift is not to lay a new foundation, but to build on the foundation that has been laid by gathering new converts, that is, making disciples, and getting them established in the Lord, just as Jesus commanded in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, which we commonly refer to as the Great Commission. A third insight. Some persons today who claim to be apostles or prophets are false. There were also those in Paul's day who claimed to be apostles, but he said they were false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. You see a reference for this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. And this is why it's important for us to understand what a prophet does and what type of work they do and the results of the work as they do it, to identify those that Paul talked about who were false apostles among us. A fourth insight we gain from this week's lesson is this. We see that apostles need spiritual training that may require considerable time and much discipline. For example, the 12 had to spend 3 years in Christ's company, learning to be his representative. Even Paul, who had been trained in the Scriptures before his conversion, spent years in the desert learning from the Lord. You see a reference for this in Galatians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Then we see further time elapsed before Paul began his pastoral ministry. We see this in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, Acts chapter 11, verses 25 through 30, Acts chapter 12, verse 25, as well as Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Then we see that it took even more time before Paul went on his first missionary journey, which is described in Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 3. And then later, after his first missionary journey, we see Paul participated in what's called the Jerusalem Council. This is in Acts chapter 15, verses 1 through 29, as well as mentioned in Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. So from this, we see about the apostles that the apostles' formation or development involved an extensive amount of time. And this should really help us to guard against, as Paul mentioned earlier, about these false apostles who are deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. Now you see in the scriptures what an apostle does, how what work they do, and what the results of the work that they do. Let's look at a fifth question, a fifth insight that I want you to get from this week's review. Before persons can minister with a prophetic gift, they need to fill their hearts and minds with the scriptures. We see Christ promise his disciples that the Holy Spirit would teach them and help them remember the things that he had taught them. For reference, look at John chapter 14, verse 26. But we need to understand that the Spirit cannot bring the words of the Lord out of our remembrance unless we have learned them. So we see Peter exercise the prophetic gift on the day of Pentecost. Look at Acts chapter 2. And from his sermon, we see that he knew the teachings and prophecies of the Old Testament very well. And that is why, students, he was able, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to point his listeners to the words of Joel. You see specifically Acts chapter 2, verses 17 to 21. We also see that he pointed the people to words about David in verses 25 to 28, also verse 31, 34, and 35. So it's important for us to understand that the Holy Spirit uses the words that we have meditated upon, that we have studied. This is why Paul instructed Timothy to study, to show thyself approved unto God. And so it's very relevant for us to do so today. A sixth insight that I want to give you before we conclude today is that prophets speak by inspiration as the Holy Spirit reveals spiritual truth to them. See a reference to this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5. But this does not put their ministry on the same level as Scripture. We see that after a prophet speaks, the hearers are to judge the value of his words. See reference in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29. They are to compare the prophet's words with the scriptures, and if the prophecy does not agree with the revealed words, believers must disregard it. So the prophetic ministry does not add anything to the scriptures. Rather, it builds up the church by bringing new life, light, and power to the body of Christ through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So, students, I pray that you've been encouraged and been edified and may perhaps receive a deeper level of understanding about the spiritual gifts of apostles and prophets as we're continuing with our study of the course, Spiritual Gifts. This has been Session 5, and I pray that you will continue to be encouraged as you study these lessons and perhaps as the Holy Spirit reveals to you the different types of spiritual gifts that he has imparted into your life and how you can recognize their gift and the operation of the gift in the lives of others. So I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to bless and prosper each of you as we continue with these lessons. And until our next session, God bless you and good day.